Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John in KC, Nate Ducati in Denver, Marco Marquez on the other side of the glass, now joined in studio by Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman. What's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's going on, guys?
Good morning.
So it was a successful trip. You're back. Everything go well. I saw that you had some success fishing. See, there were some good things besides the negative paddleboarding that Gary wants to bring up.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good trip all around. That was just a little dull point in the trip for me.
How big was that marlin?
I bear hugged it.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, just make sure it wouldn't get away from me.
What do you have to say about that? That was a big catch.
I didn't see it, sure.
I didn't send it to him. I didn't send it to him. He's not privy to get that stuff yet.
I mean,
I'm still a little upset that guys I know he was getting some of
the guys
videos
that took you guys out on the boat probably caught it, and then you might have.
I've got video of me catching it.
So did you actually catch it, or was it they caught it and they get here, sure, and reel her in?
Sure.
They just throw that line out there, and then it takes it, and then I jump on and fight that thing for a little bit and get it in. They're not easy.
How long do you have to fight it for to get it in?
I don't know. Probably 20, 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not easy.
You think he could have done that?
No, he would have folded. He would
have
asked
Have
for
you
help,
ever seen the video of me
he
catching
said you would
a
have
tuna?
Folded within 20 to 25 minutes.
There's no way. Have you ever seen the video of me catching the tuna in Turks and Caicos?
No, I've never seen it.
Dude, I mean, I'm whipping that thing in the boat just 30 seconds, just boom.
What's harder to catch, a marlin or a tuna?
That's a great question. I don't know.
We're comparing apples and oranges here.
I don't know, but
how big was the tuna?
Not very big, but
I forgot Nate was here.
Nate.
he chimed in. I forgot
George
he was here.
Around, like where did come from?
But they gave us the tuna when we got off the boat, and they're like, here you go. And like it was me, Pat, Kelsey, D Rob, and Chris Conley, and all of us were like, what are we supposed to do with this?
You didn't know how to fillet it or anything like that?
No.
Cook it up and...
No. Like, none of us have any experience.
Yeah, that's sad.
I went on YouTube when I got back to the house. I watched the video and did it for the whole house.
Made that's
it,
nice.
And it was pretty good.
Good for you, bud.
Millennials.
Next time, yep. That's the issue.
All right, so we got some interesting things to talk about. I want to play this clip from the Kelsey's podcast because... So did you get a chance to watch any of the games over the weekend?
Yeah. Yep.
So, and I don't think it matters, but some people are enjoying this, having some fun with this. So Mike McDaniel, the first-year head coach of the Dolphins, was caught vaping on the sideline, you know, in between plays, get a quick vape in. You know, I don't know what flavor or whatever else, or just maybe something to level things out. I don't know. And so we'll hear the Kelsey's talking with this, and I want to get your thoughts, because I don't – like, when I think of head coaches that might vape on the sideline, I'm not thinking Andy Reid. But there might be some coaches out there. But I don't know. This is the first guy I've seen vape in an NFL game. You know, back in the day, like, Lebo was in here telling a story about Barry Switzer. He was squatting down and having a quick cigarette, you know, in the second quarter of a game for Oklahoma. Let's hear what the Kelsey's had to say. I want to hear what you guys think about maybe if your head coach was vaping during a game.
Did Mike McDaniel vape on the sidelines?
I mean, there's no question.
There's no question. If you know anybody that vaped, or if you've seen anyone that's vaped, that is a vape, 1,000%.
Right? Listen, he tried to hide it, but come on. What else would it have been?
That's what vapers do. They hide it. They hold it in there.
There's people saying it might have been a Sharpie. He's a big pen guy, supposedly. You know, he's got his call sheet.
What's he, inhaling Sharpie on the sideline?
Listen, I'm with you. I think it's a vape.
That's arguably worse than vape.
I'd rather it be a vape than him sucking on a Sharpie like that. I think if you sniff Sharpies, you can get a high, right? Is that a thing?
That's what they told us when we were kids. Never worked for me.
It was a vape, let's be honest. It looked like a vape. Hey, if it looks like a vape, smells like a vape, it's probably a vape. Does it explain the 4th-and-1 delay of game at the end?
If that was a weed pen...
He explains it.
That explains a lot.
Tobacco, not so much. What down is it again?
Mike, we only have 40 seconds, Mike. Clock's rolling.
Let's see, there's the clip that caught on TV. It's a quick vape. And like, well, we said the same thing. Like, you know, if it was a weed pen, whatever, that might explain him not giving me calls in on time. I guess, you know, it's just not a sense of urgency. Do you believe him to be vaping during the game? And what do you think? Is this going to be a new trend for NFL coaches? What do you think, Gary?
It looked like a vape to me.
Right.
I mean, that whole game was, it's like you're watching their offense. It's like, come on, get the play, call the play. But do you blame that on the coach or the quarterback? Like, you never know. And it just seemed like when they showed that clip, you start putting some things together, and this is not a good look for old Mike, especially first year
in the playoffs. What do you say about this?
I mean, it's probably – I can see him being that kind of guy. He's trying to fit in with the team and whoever else does it. He's trying to hang out and go out for beers after the game with them and stuff like that. So I can see him being a guy that's doing that on the sideline. I don't see many
– just a quick –
yeah, I don't see many other head coaches doing that in the NFL. I don't see even assistant coaches. I wouldn't think that they're doing it. Maybe in the locker room, but not on the field.
Right. Sherm used to pack just a fat dip right before kickoffs.
Fat dip, right?
Yeah, just relaxed me a little bit.
Right? Did it?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, but so then you could see maybe if Mike McDaniels
just kind of feeling,
you know, just take the edge off, just a quick vape before the second half or something like that. Or
I mean,
or no?
I don't know. It's a bad look for the coach.
Bad look, Gary?
I would say so, only because of the situations that occurred. I think
right, like if you're getting the plays in on time and everything's going,
rolling,
go ahead and have a vape. But if you're struggling, then
you're,
maybe
if you're
maybe
rolling,
not.
And is, I think somebody else showed a clip of that fourth down. And it looked like he didn't know it was fourth down.
No, he didn't. And he even said afterwards, he said that it was indicated that
they had their first down personnel.
It was first
down,
so they'd sent. So you see, at 23 seconds of the game clock, you see him. He goes, "What?"
Yeah.
And that's when he realized
that necessarily I wouldn't. That's not necessarily on him. That's on the assistants there to make sure he knows that it's not first down. I know Coach Reed does a great job with all the guys on the sideline, EB and everyone. They're on top of it pretty fast when it's not a third down situation. They did get the first down or vice versa.
Somebody made a mistake.
Okay. Someone made a mistake.
Yeah. Oh, so now, because of those mistakes, and they could have won that game. Buffalo advances. And so another topic we have coming out of the wild card weekend. Marco played the clip from Patrick Mahomes the other day when I was out there, and I asked Patrick Mahomes about Trevor Lawrence and the way he celebrated his first playoff win.
Lawrence celebrated his first playoff win at Waffle House, which is pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
How did you celebrate your first playoff win?
I can't remember exactly. I'm sure I was saying to Brad, I'm sure there was a couple Coors Lights that were drinking. I didn't get Waffle House, man. That's a baller move, man. And so maybe if we win this one, I'll think of somewhere to go that can match that.
I've been a little disappointed. I bring this up, and I find that I'm almost on an island around here. I'm a Waffle House guy, which you can look at me and you're not shocked when I say that. But many nights at the end of the, you know, it was a younger man when the club closed the Barclay, you go to Waffle House and you could, it's a wonderful menu. You could maybe see a fist fight there while you're eating, like dinner theater. I've been up many, many times. So where do you stand on Waffle House? I don't mind it.
I haven't been there enough to really be a big fan of
But you'll go.
If other guys are going, I'll go.
I've been to Waffle House. Guy. He's high up.
I've been to Waffle House.
Yeah, maybe like 14 years ago.
No, I went down to Jamal Charles' roast that they did down there in Port Arthur, Texas. And we went to Waffle House one day. It's right across the street from the hotel.
It's a Bowling Green staple, Waffle House.
So it's just, what does that say to you about your quarterback if he wins his first playoff game? Hey, let's go to Waffle House. Come on. That's good.
I would say it seems like he's a chill guy. They called ahead and made sure they got a little area reserved, which is I thought was like funnier than them actually going.
Can they do that? Can you do that at Waffle House?
That's what I was laughing. I'm like, who's actually at Waffle House where you got to call at? What time did that game end? Like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock?
So there was a video from the locker room. Trevor Lawrence said he had the table for midnight. The table for midnight.
It's like who?
So you frequent Waffle House?
I wouldn't say I'm frequent. I haven't been in a while, like Sherm, but I would say that was like college right. time. I would be going a couple times a week.
Where what's the best like place you went or best memory of celebrating a playoff win? Like Patrick said, just a couple of Coors Lights, but
Super Bowl? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a big bourbon guy, so
okay.
So maybe a couple of bourbons, maybe a cigar.
Yeah.
Back porch, good buddies, maybe a little hunting on hunting TV.
Yeah.
Just walk, you know, just hang out, relax, put the feet up, hang out with the buddies.
Love that.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't think
Gehrig Dieter's on board with that.
No, you'd always have to have a couple of White Claws for Gehrig when he came
over. Is that
right? He's a big White Claw
guy.
You
like those?
No.
What flavor do you like?
I don't think I've ever had one, honestly.
No, he's a
Coors.
He's only a beer.
I'm a Coors light guy.
Nate just said, "Oh, come on." He doesn't believe
it's
you haven't
okay
had
to
one.
Admit it.
No,
I'm...
Nate, you having some nice IPAs out there in Colorado?
Like a hazy IPA, you know?
Yeah, I could see that right now.
Look, there's nothing wrong with a White Claw. It's okay to have a White Claw every once in a while. You don't have to.
Nate, I never had a White Claw. I never
it's
had
okay,
one.
It's okay, man. No one's judging you, dude.
Yeah, he's just upset.
Gary's defensive about this. Nate's rushing to his defense. It seems like you know something, but I mean, I don't know.
Never.
Okay.
No, he was more. He couldn't handle the man drink.
Right.
He couldn't handle that. He would stay away from.
You can't. So he just said you can't handle a man drink. What about that? I mean, that's an accusation. Depends on what.
It depends.
What's your favorite? Like, what's your go-to drink? What do you like to have?
A Coors Light.
A Coors Light.
See, yeah, Coors Light. I mean, Busch Light, Coors Light,
bourbon.
We can do a test, and I can invite him over this weekend, and I can give him some of Barrel 42 and see if he.
I retired from that.
Why don't we do that in studio next week? We could do. I mean, we have bourbon testings here. All
if
all
that's fine,
yeah,
I can bring. Yeah,
yes.
Bull Creek Distillery's got plenty of options. We can try them.
Me
out.
Me and Sherm, 10 Coors Lights apiece, then wrestling match.
Why does everything end up with a wrestling match or someone going in a cage or someone fighting?
With him, it's always like that.
That's like the end of every story.
Always. Every time he'd be like, I could just whoop you right now. Let's get in a cage.
Before,
walk up to me, no problem. No,
before we went on the air, last thing he said was Nate and Marco in a cage.
he did want that to happen.
Yeah. So, Nate, I don't know if you realize this, but Gary's pushing for this. He always wants people to fight. Okay, now I don't want to make you. I don't want you to get mad at me. But I got to bring something up because I hate looking at it and I hate seeing about it because it was a horrible day for Chiefs fans since they had this big comeback between Jacksonville and the Chargers. Then they had the list.
Yeah,
biggest,
I know where we're
yeah,
going with
and,
this.
Yeah, and the biggest comebacks, and then they start showing how they showed a full highlight reel of this damn Chiefs Colts game where Andrew Luck's catching fumbles and running all this crap.
Yeah, my
right?
guy Donnie Brown fumbled.
Yeah,
Andrew caught it and scored.
But then I'm seeing how they built the lead. Not in. Were you aware of this, Gary? In that first playoff game, Andy Reid, Sherm scoring a touchdown, helping build the lead, 38-10, and then Dwayne Bowe was open for a big pass. Did not get his both feet in bounds, and later on, he came on this show and said he had a sprung foot and it would have broke his foot. If he would have tried to put it in bounds, which
interesting.
Was right, we never heard. Right, remember that, Nate? He was in studio. I had a sprung foot, and I would have broke my foot to try to stay in bounds. So, well, you know, great point, Dwayne, Debo. And so, but what I want to ask you is,
you don't want to spring your foot.
No, you went through that right in the playoffs, and so we just saw this with the Chargers. Staley's getting destroyed in the media. Herbert's getting blamed, but like. There's enough blame where all these things have to go wrong, where there's not just one thing or one person. When you're in that, what is that? I mean, it's like chaos, right? Like how do you describe experiencing something like that?
I tried to block it out as much as possible.
I apologize.
After. No, you're okay. It's tough. I mean, it is. You know, you go into halftime with a massive lead, and you're like, all right, let's just kind of stay right here, and we'll just keep, you know. We'd like to score every time, but we've got a good lead.
Is it hard not to let down or take your foot off the gas a little bit?
I think it is. I think for play calling, it really is. I mean, you don't want to stay aggressive, and then have an interception or a turnover and give them more opportunities to have the ball. But at the same time, you know, you need to keep your foot on the gas and roll regardless of what happens. I think you're better off doing that. Kind of like what we talked about with. Not being ready to play, you get hurt. when you're not full go, full mindset, full ready to hit someone, you have a better chance of getting hurt. So I think with that, it's the same thing with a play caller. If you stay on your foot on the gas, you should be okay. But I know these guys get a little timid with that stuff.
You know what's crazy is, like, so many people predicted that, even when it was like 27-0. Like, we were in Texas back and forth, like, if any team will blow it, it's the Chargers. Wait till the Chargers start charging. And as soon as Jacksonville scored that touchdown, and then they went to halftime, it seemed like it got in their heads. And that's what I want to ask you. When you got a team that hasn't had success in the postseason and has created that label, chargering, it can get in your head, right? I mean, it's difficult not to, because everything fell apart in the second half.
Yeah, it's easy to relax when you got the lead. And I grew up a Packers fan, so I feel like from like right after they won the Super Bowl, and then the next like 4 or 5 years, every playoffs, I feel like they would have a lead, and then they would lose the lead, and it would be the most devastating thing. And it's like you said, a lot of things have to happen. Your offense gets conservative, plays have to go your way, crazy plays happen, and I don't know. It never seems like any lead is safe in the NFL, which I think is the why it's so entertaining.
Okay, so and part of it, you have to have a head coach that's a good leader that keeps everyone's heads in the game. And Doug Peterson, he's won a Super Bowl. You're familiar with him because he was the offensive coordinator for a couple of years under Andy Reid here. I'm just curious what your memories are of Doug Peterson and what your opinion of him is as a coach, because I don't think he gets enough credit. I mean, he had Carson Wentz playing at an MVP level, won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, and then here turns them around in 1 year, wins a division, wins a playoff game, and now they're the Arrowhead Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, he is a laid-back quarterback. You know, he played in the league. He's been around. He's laid back, but he is a great leader of men. And, you know, you want to get behind him and have fun, because he'll keep it fun. He'll keep it loose. Very, very similar to Coach Reid. If you're winning and you're doing things the right way and you're following the small little rules and different details that he has. But no, he is a great coach. I mean, he's done great things with a lot of the quarterbacks that he's had, and giving a guy that is good with quarterbacks, a great talented quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, good things are going to happen. I don't think it's going to be enough this weekend coming in here to Arrowhead. I know I heard something. He said, made a clip, said something about it. I don't think Arrowhead's going to be as loud as
– Get the clip!
Get as loud as Jacksonville, which is quite funny to me to think that he thinks that. So I hope the fans make sure he knows that
okay.
It's not anywhere close to that.
Okay, so here we – so, you know, everyone – and as you know, Kansas Cityans were very proud of Arrowhead, defensive about, you know, the tailgating and how loud we are and everything else. And so you guys have played all over in college and the NFL. Honestly, it is one of the loudest stadiums, right? The atmosphere is crazy compared to other NFL stadiums.
When they're rolling, when those fans are rolling and the team's rolling, it is a fun time for us. I mean, for offensive guys, we're sitting on the bench listening to it, and it's sometimes you can't hear yourself think on that sideline and listening to those guys. And we love getting fans fired up for defense and doing that. But it is a crazy place, and I love seeing those pictures of the fans lined up at 6 o'clock tailgating before the gates open, and they're already and then they close up their tailgate out there and they move it to the inside, and it's fun.
Some of them make it inside.
Yeah,
that's some true. Never some see don't. The game. That's true.
And some make it inside and still don't see the game.
That
so,
is true.
You know,
pace yourselves. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's exactly right. Let's hear the comments from Trevor Lawrence there.
Obviously, the environment and the atmosphere we're going to play in is one of, if not the best in the NFL. I mean, I can't imagine it'll be much louder than our fans were here on Saturday, honestly. But that was when we were on defense, not offense. So we played there earlier in the year, but this is a little bit different. You know, it's a playoff game, divisional round. So the stakes are higher. So I expect them to be even crazier, more packed stadium. But I mean, at the end of the day, you got to go play, and you got to make sure you communicate. That's the one thing. We got to get in and out of the huddle. We got to get the line of scrimmage so we have time to communicate, because everything naturally takes a little longer when it's loud.
Gary Dieter, what do you think of those comments?
I think that's a fair answer. I mean, at the end of the game, they were probably pretty loud. I mean, obviously, it's nothing compared to what Arrowhead is in the playoffs, but I think he hit all the key talking points in that answer. I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, obviously, you kind of have to say something like that as a guy coming in, but I mean, there's nothing like Arrowhead in the playoffs.
So for this team, they had a home playoff game,
mm-hmm.
but this will be a new experience for a lot of those players. How much does playoff experience matter, in your opinion, when you got a team that's been through almost everything versus a young quarterback making his first road playoff start and a lot of young players that have not had this experience yet?
I would say if he didn't come from a big school where he's playing in every college championship, every big atmosphere against the best teams, and then
he's the quarterback that beat you when you returned punts, right? At Alabama.
Wrong.
Deshaun Watson. Oh, okay.
Sure. Same school though.
Same
Anthony.
School. I just wasn't sure if it was
orange and
guy.
White. Next time though. So I would say if he was coming from a smaller school with no playoff experience / playing in big games, it would be a concern. But he seems to kind of play level. I mean, could you have a worse first half than he did? I don't think so as a quarterback. So for him to come out against a good team, the Chargers, and put the performance on that he did, I think it's going to give him momentum. And, I mean, I would say his confidence has to be at all-time high. I mean, he's got great receivers that are not necessarily young guys. I mean, most of them have been in the NFL for a few years. So playoff-wise, I don't think playoff experience really matters. I think as long as your coach has playoff experience, which he does, I think he'll have the rest of the guys kind of tuned up and be right.
Yeah, I agree with Gehrig on the playoff experience. I mean, it is – I know it's playoffs and I know it's different, but it's just a football game. So if they don't – the biggest thing is, like, if it's just another game. Yes, it's a playoff game. If you win, you stay. You lose, you go home. But at the end of the day, it's football. So if you just go out there and execute your game plan and – play to who you are and what your team's about, you should be okay regardless if it's a playoff game or if it's, you know, middle of the season.
Yeah, and they don't have any pressure on them. I mean, they're already selling tickets to the AFC Championship game for Bills Chiefs, so I think I think they'll come in and just play free, which obviously you want as a football player. You just want to kind of get in there and you don't want the pressure on you. I think you always kind of want to be opposite, especially in the playoffs.
By the way, that's the Marlin that Sherm says you could not reel in by yourself.
Really, yeah. Buddy, that thing took you 25 minutes.
Listen, it's a ball of muscle, dude.
You got blood running. I mean, that looked like a...
Not impressed.
All right.
Maybe
we'll take you out there.
An hour after this picture, this Marlin was traded to the Yankees for prospects. So we will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman. Let's check in with Nate Bucati in Denver. He startled Anthony Sherman a little bit earlier because Sherman didn't know where that voice was coming from. Nate, what do you think about everything that's going on over here?
Well, I'm still a little disappointed that Gary refuses to admit that he's had a white claw in his life, but, you know, that's okay.
He's not going to let go of that, by the way. Now that's going to—that's around. It's going to hang with you now.
Nate, you're turning into my rival, man. I'm telling you, I've never had one. I wouldn't lie about that.
This is like a hot button deal. He doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah, or a high noon.
I don't drink those.
But did you know that was going to irritate him so bad?
It's going to irritate any guy, but
I never had one.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a high noon.
Never.
You've never tried one?
Never. Never had a seltzer.
Yeah, he has.
I'm not soft. No, none. I'm not soft.
Yeah, there's some guy out there that loves white. You're like, we'll draw with him right now. Nate, now you have, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Nate puts those suckers away. He used to get Zimas and put Jolly Ranchers.
Is that what
them.
He was drinking when USA was playing? When he's up at
just crushing them one after another. He doesn't even have to order them. They just bring them to him. So Nate, say something from in Denver. All right, you got these two guys wanting to hear from you.
Okay.
What do you got?
I want to play a soundbite for these guys, too, because we were talking about what a good coaching job Doug Peterson has done already in his NFL career, and obviously with the big comeback. But what about the other side of it? Because Brandon Staley got asked at his press conference yesterday if he got out-coached in that game against the Jags.
Brandon, you feel like you were out-coached by Peterson, and how much did that lead
to the loss? Oh, Bill, I thought it was a tight game. I thought that for a half, I thought I wouldn't say that was the case for a half. You know, I think at the end of the game, that team that we were playing showed a lot of fight, a lot of resilience. I thought it was a high-quality game against two teams that are both young and hungry. And so I thought it was just a high-level game all the way around. And so I think Doug's an outstanding coach, and I know that we were coaching at a high level, and hopefully we're going to get another chance at those guys.
So I'm curious what you guys think of the fact that Staley said that he didn't get out-coached for a half.
Yeah, so he's the defensive guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you got out-coached. I mean, your defense couldn't adjust to what they were doing. They second half, their offense was completely different. Doug went in, made adjustments. Guys settled down and started playing football. And you could just – I loved every minute of watching the Chargers just fall apart. And then Bosa acting like a baby every single time.
So that's the other thing. We talked a lot about that. You know, so first of all, he's committing penalties that are hurting his team, lining up in the neutral zone, and then that led to a touchdown. Then the penalty on the extra point, which allowed them to go for two, and that's led to them kicking for the win. And then that scene that went viral on social media when he takes his helmet, slams it down the ground. Staley runs after the helmet, picks up the helmet, gives it back to him. He takes it and slams it down again.
He might be just mad that his brother's better than him, and he's got no impact on playoff games like his brother does. And then he says he's playing with one leg. I mean, every person out there on the football field in the playoffs is hurt. Like, we don't want to listen to you talking about how you're running around on one leg.
But you're not as hurt as he is, though.
Well, I guess not. But, I mean, he's just – you got to –
You want to hear him bitch and moan after the game?
Oh, Marco sent it to us yesterday. Oh, yeah. I heard it. I mean, it's nothing you can do about it now, dude. Just go into the off season and get better. I mean, maybe train with your brother or something and figure it out. Maybe you can learn some tips from him.
You know what? Let's all hear it again. Just one more time. Let's hear Bosa complaining about the officials.
I need to be more accountable for my actions, obviously, but it's a heated game, and I'm hurting out there. I'm playing on half a leg. I'm getting dragged to the ground, whatever. Could hurt me, along with screwing our team. And yeah, maybe some of them weren't as blatant as I thought, but I don't know. It's I think there just needs to be more accountability on. I mean, if I say something to them, I get a $40,000 fine. But if they blow a call that ruins an entire team's season, they get to. They're probably back in the locker room after the game, like, oh, got that. Got him. 15 yards, what a loser. I guarantee it. That's what the.
Stop acting like a baby. It won't happen.
Whatever. Power trip. I'm sick of those people, and I'm gonna just about my third F bomb so far. Sorry, but man. Oof.
He's dealing with it well, and of course, we're playing the song Goodbye Horses from the Silence of the Lambs soundtrack because he sounds like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
I mean, I'm with him a little bit on the accountability of the refs. I'm okay with that. I think that everyone should be accountable to someone.
Yes.
And no one really knows who those guys are answering to, really. But, I mean, at the same time, there's nothing you can do about it now. Your team lost. You didn't make enough plays. Half a leg. I guess he's missing one and only has a half. I don't know.
What do you think of that, Gary Dieter?
I think you should be able to fire up the refs after the game. I don't think you should get fined if you – if you have a problem with the referee and you want to call him out after the game, I think you should very well have the opportunity to do that, and you should not be getting fined. And then I think the refs should have to answer. I think they should have to go to their own press conference.
Thank you. Now, because I've long said this. Now, there's a pool reporter, one reporter that can go in and ask questions. But, like, if players and coaches have to answer for what just happened in the game, why are they immune to this? Why not? And I think that should be true in every sport. You got the table out there. Have them come in for 5 or 10 minutes. All right, questions. Hey, what went behind this call? Why did you make that call? I mean, then you have transparency and people understand, like what's wrong with that?
Put them in right after the game.
Why can't they answer questions?
Well, half the time they have to go back and watch the film themselves and see what it really was.
Yeah,
they
but that's they don't the know same thing with the coach or player. We're just saying they need to, right after the game, go right to the table and answer the questions.
I agree with you. I would love to see that. I mean, let me and Gary go in there and ask questions if that happens. Come on.
We'll credential you. We'll get ask questions for A-10, please.
Yeah, no.
Sideline reporters this week or what?
I mean, come on. I'll do the live play-by-play or something.
They can have your seat.
Sure. Absolutely.
But, no, we wouldn't do that to you.
Oh, you.
We wouldn't do that.
I have to coach a girls' basketball game at 2:00, so I won't be at the game.
I've got a basketball game at 2:45. So
it sounds like you're not a huge fan of Bosa. It sounds like
no, I've never been. I mean, he can pass rush a little bit, and then when you start running down his throat, he caves and usually gets hurt or complains about something, and then gets off of the sideline.
What I've noticed a lot in big games, he's on the sideline.
Yeah,
when the defense is out there,
I did like that Staley, and I'm assuming this is what happened. But that last drive, Staley took him out.
Yeah,
and just hopefully that was to set a message to the team. I know it obviously. Chargers fans are probably not happy about sending a message on the last drive of the game, but at the same time, as a coach, you can't have players acting like that and not respond to their childish behavior on the field. I mean, as a coach, you have to set a precedence to what you're standing for and what this team's about. And he showed a lot of people his true colors in those moments.
All right, so let's talk about this game. The Chargers collapse. Jacksonville wins. Now they're at Arrowhead on Saturday. Gary, how dangerous is Jacksonville, or do you think the Chiefs will roll on Saturday?
I think it'll be a high-level playoff game. I think the momentum that the Jags got in that second half, I think that will kind of carry on. And you never know how a team that gets a bye will start the game. They might start slow. They might start hot. But I would assume that the Jags start a little hotter than the Chiefs this week, and Pat and boys kind of settle down and get things going. But I think that the Chiefs win, obviously. But I think it'll be a better game than expected to be. I don't think – what's the spread on this one?
8.5?
I think that's too many. I think it'll be a one-possession game.
Oh, boy, you just crushed Marco's dreams. He's been all in on the cover.
No, it's most of the predictions that we got so far have been double-digit spread. So
Gary Gibbs says no.
I'm not a fan of double digits
playoffs. I mean, I don't think you can have that. I mean, I guess you could, but at the same time, in the playoffs, it's – the NFL is obviously everyone loves to watch the NFL because in the playoffs and in any sport really, the games are so much tighter than anyone thought, and it's going back and forth, and it's high scoring, it's great defense, whatever it is, it's just a great game to watch, regardless if it's your team playing or not. Everyone watches the playoffs,
and I think them having a game at Arrowhead this year, obviously not the same atmosphere as the playoffs, but coming up to KC, playing a game here, losing in the game. What it felt decently close the whole game. I mean, the Chiefs were in control, obviously. But
3 turnovers for the Chiefs, none for the Jacksonville.
Right,
game.
And they won, yeah. But I think it was – I think having that game early on in the season helps them out.
Okay, who do you guys think is going to win between Cincinnati and Buffalo in Buffalo on Sunday afternoon, Sherm?
I think Cincinnati's going to win.
Offensive line injuries. Like, I was going to pick Cincinnati. Now I'm back to going to Cincinnati. They can overcome that because Josh Allen.
They can overcome it, and the sole reason is because they can get the ball out so quick.
Yeah.
That you used to see it with Tom Brady in New England, like in that AFC Championship. How many times were we so close to getting him, but he got the ball out before you got there?
Like
so,
when Burrow plays the Chiefs, it seems like.
It's the same way. It's the same thing. He knows that those guys they're new or they're backups, and they're going to get a game plan in that they can get the ball out quick and try to make it their playmakers make plays in the open field.
Who wins? Gary Dieter.
I'll go Bengals, too. I think the Bills are overrated. I don't think they've been playing to the level that they are expected to be at this whole season.
Josh Allen turnovers.
turnovers, and then I think Von Miller getting hurt isn't talked about enough. I think him, if he was on the team, they would be Super Bowl favorites right now.
I would agree,
but it just you gotta have a dog on the edge that can just
that
disrupt
can wreck
the game.
A game.
Yeah,
wreck a whole game.
Aaron Donald, Chris Jones,
right?
Those type guys, and Von Miller at this year was playing at that level before he got hurt.
So I mean, everyone is pretty much in agreement. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback. Who do you think is the better quarterback in that game, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow? Who would you rather have?
Whew, that's a tough one. I would say Burrow, just because I think he makes some better decisions. And I know Josh Allen's a little bit like Brett Favre. He's a gunslinger. He's just going to throw it out there, throw it deep for his guys, and if it gets picked, it's whatever. But I think his decision making has been a little bit better towards the later part of the season than Josh Allen.
I would say who's better? Probably Josh Allen. I think Joe Burrow has. I mean, his three receivers are up there. I think those three you can put with any other three in the NFL. I always say that there's a lot of teams with three really good receivers, but those guys in Cincinnati make a quarterback's job pretty easy when you can just throw it up and those guys can make a play no matter who's on them. So I would say for that reason, I would say Josh Allen is better. I don't think his receivers are very good. Stephon Diggs is good. Gabe Davis always has big playoff games, but I don't think those guys are better than the Cincinnati guys.
Shocking news was just sent to me.
Wow. Do we tell him or we wait till the break after the break to let him do it?
The 810 Border Patrol Twitter account just received a DM.
Look at his face. He knows it's coming.
This is from a loyal listener named Meg. Gehrig has definitely had a Truly Seltzer.
Yes, sir.
That's wrong.
I mean, it's coming. Look who it's. I mean, are you gonna? Are
I
you,
don't care.
Don't tell
wrong.
Me.
So you're
tell
saying?
Her.
So don't you're saying me. Your wife is lying to us?
She's lying on Twitter.
Wow.
She's
clout chasing. Good luck going home.
She's clout chasing.
She's
this
not
morning.
Only listening to the show, but she felt so strongly about this. She found the show's Twitter account and DM'd.
Show
and
me
you
proof.
Tell me she's clout chasing.
Show me proof.
Let me that tell you something. Right let me there. Tell you something. We have no clout to chase.
I'm just telling you.
We got nothing.
Just show me proof.
If she's trying to clout chase through this show, she's going to be sorely disappointed.
There's always Trulies, always some like just random things in the fridge. I'll never touch them.
I mean,
what does that say, Anthony Sherman? What does that say?
I mean, it says Gehrig has definitely had a true seltzer.
It's like, I don't, maybe he did.
Never.
Well,
I mean, she's very, like she said, definitely.
Right.
That's fine.
She
can say
your name
she wants.
In
I know
all
what I'm saying.
Caps also, which
she did.
Which
she makes sure everyone knows it's coming for you.
On a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, like
I don't see the problem,
summertime.
But
it's okay. Just admit it to all of us. Buddy, we're all
okay,
friends.
Man.
I'll only have a cup of brewskis if I'm with the boys. I'm not drinking if I'm just sitting at home.
Yeah. Oh. Only with the boys. You're not just sitting there pounding them at home, are you?
You're not going to have a glass of wine with the wife at night?
Never.
How about Mike McDaniel? Quick vape before bed? Nothing like that?
Never.
All right.
I'm a straight edge guy.
All right, we're going to take a break then and think about this. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Tell me only this.
Nate, do you like this song?
Sure.
This is by the great Lionel Richie. Do you know the name of this song?
Want me by your side.
No, I don't. Truly?
It is. Truly by Lionel Richie, so I thought that would be a wonderful... This could be a wonderful song for you and Meg for Valentine's Day since she's divulged this important information about Truly.
I'll make sure it's playing in the house.
Yeah, perfect.
It's like that song where you have a staring contest with your boy and who cannot smirk first.
Interesting.
Sure, stop looking at me, man.
What do you think of all this? He just flatly said, no, I've never had one. and she sends us a DM, so he's had, I mean, absolutely.
He's had one. At least one in his life. He might have forgotten he's had one.
Never.
I mean, one time I ended the night with it truly, and I don't remember it.
Wow.
One time I came in from mowing the grass, and I just chugged it in the garage. It was thirsty. I thought it was a water.
One time I just sat in my hotel room with friends and took truly shots.
This is the first time I felt in all these segments you've done that you might be a little uncomfortable in the studio. And we talked about a lot of stuff.
Everybody else is sharing their truly
truth. Just a couple things. I don't want to talk about it.
Please. The microphone is yours. Please.
I never had a truly. I don't know what you guys...
It's not you guys. We didn't say it.
It's from your wife.
That's fine. I don't drink.
Now you don't drink
at
all.
If I'm with the boys, I'll have a beer. That's it. I'd never had truly. I'm not drinking trulies.
All right. Well,
or any seltzer.
Just be careful. He is 100% uncomfortable right now.
He's red faced.
Yeah, he is.
Are you going to be like, is this going to start a fight?
Are you gonna be okay?
I'm great.
Are you going to tell her to stay out of the show?
I feel bad for the listeners because you guys are spreading false information.
About the list, at this point, I don't care if anyone's listening. This is just something for us.
Yeah,
I would like to mention that this appearance, Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman here with us on the Border Patrol, brought to you by Houndstooth at 507 Walnut or at houndstoothkc.com. Houndstooth, old school, never old fashioned, and perhaps enjoy it truly while you're being fitted for a suit. I don't know.
I'm gonna go get a couple new suits here soon.
Are you?
Get it nice and fresh.
Good.
I need a couple
you.
Like business suits.
Business suits.
Just to
look professional.
Yeah, maybe come in the studio one day with the suit. Maybe we all do that one day. We'll see.
Or if you got like a meeting or something, you know?
I don't wear suits.
Yeah, I mean, but you have one.
I mean, I've got them.
Well, I'll take you over to Houndstooth, get you fitted.
There we go.
You don't have a real suit. I'll get you
I know, I don't have a real suit.
Yeah, all right. I'll get you a real man suit.
I saw you playing pickleball all over social media. Where was that at? What happened?
Yeah, you're talking about this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, me and a buddy that used to play in the NFL, his name's Bryce Butler, we went out to Palm Springs and played in a tournament and just got absolutely waxed.
Oh, really?
First match, and then it got rained out, which is uncommon in Palm Springs, apparently. So only played one match and lost. Disappointing, but you live and you learn. That sport humbles you.
You got waxed. So it yeah.
By
that
some,
surprise you?
By two guys that just look like scrubs, too.
I mean, it's a little surprising from Garrick just being such a high profile athlete,
right?
The sport
itself. I'm more or less gonna say I think it might have been his partner that he really wants to take the blame, but
he admitted it. He said he was super
fault?
Nervous.
Okay, yeah.
But so like, there's levels, and we played at 4-0, and I talked to a few people. They're saying 4-0 is like the sandbagging level. So like, you're getting guys that shouldn't be in 4-0. That should be higher than that, coming back down to try to win something. They probably never won anything in their lives, so they're trying just to eat up on the young guys. They're sandbagging.
Sandbagging, son of a gun.
It's annoying, but you live and you learn.
All right, before we break, please, if you would, because Marco's compiling these, and it'll help make his decision on what he does with DraftKings Sportsbook, what will the score be of the Chiefs and Jags?
Oh, I'm going
to
go.
What's your best prediction?
30-20.
Sherman says 30-20, and that's the under. That is a cover, but it's the under.
So you're saying Bucker's making a field goal?
Yeah.
Oh.
Two field goals.
Couple of them.
Two.
A couple field goals.
Three of them. 30.
Listen.
Three touchdowns, three field goals.
Got to turn it around. There's no better time than now, right?
Nice. I like that. Let's go. Nice, easy score. 38-31.
Now that's a shootout. That's the over.
Love
that.
That's
not a cover, but that's a win for the Chiefs. Fellas, thank you so much for the time, and I truly hope you had a good experience with us today.
I did. Love coming in. I'll be out at Golden Belt Beef tomorrow for about 10:30. If anyone wants to come out and see us.
For how long?
A couple hours.
You're going to be on the air with Jason Anderson too.
Yeah, we'll be on the air tomorrow as well.
10:30.
Yeah, come on, stop by.
You want to
get a couple of ribeyes or something?
You want to go out and see and tell them again what the name of it is?
Golden Belt Beef.
Where's that at, Anthony?
Yeah, 151st and 69 Highway.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Come on out of town around 10:30. I'll be there.
Golden Belt Beef, 151st and 69 Highway. The zone will be out there from 10 until 2 tomorrow. Go out there and get your ground beef, your steaks, your sausages, and the sausages will be out there. And so go check them out tomorrow. Fellas, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week back after this on WHB.